All right, guys, so for this next bit, we're going to call up a couple of my very close friends, some of my best friends in the whole world, and they're going to be sharing a bit with us. And you want to throw on the slide for tonight. We are going to have our love chats. All right, looks like we're having two chats, our love chats. I'm going to call up two of my best friends in the whole wide world, Mr. Drew Slatt. You come up, and Mrs. Xenia Alcantara, please come grab a seat. All right, guys, I want you guys to give two of my best friends in the whole world a huge round of applause. Come on. Yes, sir, grab a seat. So if you guys are not following them on Instagram, find our Westwood Youth page, and then I tagged them, so make sure you find them, follow them, creep them, all that good stuff. They just got engaged a few months ago, so they're going to be getting married. You guys are all invited. I've just invited all of you guys. December 31st on the Westwood Plateau. Y'all are invited. And they're getting married at the end of this year. So I've invited them to come and share a little bit about their lives with us and kind of their journey of faith and love and kind of how they've discovered God along the way, some things they've learned in their lives. And yeah, I just want to lift it up to them and give it to them. If you guys do have any questions or thoughts, there's going to be time of that. For that at the end. So let me say a word of prayer for them, and then I'm going to hand over the microphone to Mr. Slatt. God, thank you so much for my good friends here. God, just thank you for their lives and how much they love you, God, and they're in their marriage and in their future marriage and their lives together. They want to serve you. Father, pray that they would be an amazing examples for us and they would just share from their hearts to us and that we would really receive something in these love chats. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We can share it.
Hey guys, so so it's really, Zena and I are really happy to be here tonight with you guys. We don't get to do this stuff very often. It's been a long time since I've been in a youth group like you guys are, but thanks for having us. Again, my name's Drew. This is my fiance, Xenia.
Hi. Whoa.
I think tonight we just, I know this weekend it's Valentine's Day on Sunday, and we just kind of want to take the time to talk about kind of God's idea of love and what that looks like in our lives, and then that kind of how that translates to Valentine's Day and in relationships. We just wanted to first start with, before we really get into things, get your guys' thoughts. And we'll just interact with you guys a little bit here. What do you guys think would be the world's definition of love? So the way that the world sees it, maybe people that don't know God at all, or maybe they don't know God very well. How do you think the world, what's their concept of love?
Like, kind of caring for one another unconditionally.
Unconditional love, that's a good one. What are some other ways to describe love?
Maybe we'll be a little more specific. Without God in the picture, how does the world see love? What does that look like in day-to-day life? Yep.
Someone said sex.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's physical, affection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not loving your best friend, but when it comes to relationships, I think it's really based around physical affection and how you show your love, not emotionally, but physically.
That's a good answer. I like that answer. No, I don't like it, but that's a good answer for the question.
Anyone have any other ideas what it looks like? No? Okay. Fetty Wap. I think a big part of it is that I think the way the world views love, it's heavily dependent on emotions, the way that we feel about ourselves, feel about other people, which is, can vary from day to day, it can vary from person to person. There's not really a whole lot of consistency with that type of love. I'd also say it depends on attraction, especially for guys, the guys out there, where, attraction's a big thing, and even that varies from person to person. There's not a whole lot of consistency to that. Attraction comes and goes. To base that those types of things on, or to base love on those types of things, it doesn't really, there's not a lot of substance in that, there's not a lot of hope. We just kind of want to compare worldly love right now to God's view of love, and we'll ask you guys the same question. How would you guys define God's idea of love and how he kind of introduced that to us? Obviously, Jesus died on the cross for us. God's Son came down and saved us. We owe our lives to Him. But what do you think that means? Like, what does that look like, in your opinion? Any ideas?
What is that?
No, they're not here again.
Okay. No? Yeah. So I think it's a selfless type of love, right? It's a love that the world doesn't know without God.
Yeah.
God. It's the most selfless act that the world has ever seen. You know, God gave up His own flesh and blood for us, for sins that we've committed, and it's something that we don't deserve. But it's because of God's grace and His love for us that He's given us that hope and security in that way. I would also say God's love is heavily defined in terms of it's unconditional. So it doesn't matter what we do in life. It doesn't matter where we go, the people that we meet. God's love for us never ends. It's forever. It's something that doesn't depend on anything. And He loves us unconditionally, which is hard to fathom, but that's the reality of it, and it's a beautiful thing. So anyways, now that we kind of set the table there... I think we'll maybe I'll let Xenia talk a little bit, and we'll kind of let you guys know how we met, what our relationship's been like as we first started dating,
mm-hmm.
and then getting into engagement and stuff. And maybe we'll even share a little bit about our past experiences with dating other people and how that kind of led us to our situation with each other, and kind of how God kind of
a good situation.
How God worked in our lives to bring us to a point where we could finally come to meet each other and to experience a godly relationship. So maybe I'll let you.
All right. Okay. So I'll talk about. So basically, Drew and I have been dating for about a year and a half. And he proposed in December. And I cried the entire time, just to let everyone know. Get that out on the table. But so... really, our journey has been pretty awesome, and I don't think I can say that about a lot of relationships that I've had before. So to start it off, like I'm going to be super honest with you guys. I was I was in a relationship prior, and like I never fully felt at peace about it. And you know, that's such a key thing. If I were to tell anyone what it feels like to be in a relationship that you know is right, is that there's a peace about it. And I know that I would force a lot of things on myself. So I would, you know, make my friends like this person, or I'd make my family like this person. And you know, it was never natural. It always felt like I was forcing something. And that's the thing I know about God's love, is that it's so easy and it's so light. So when I was going through that, you know, I kept pushing myself away from God, and I kept saying, you know, I grew up in the church. I would be sitting on Sunday morning and like, I really didn't even know what was going on around me. I kind of just sat there to sit there. And like, I don't know if a lot of you guys feel that way sometimes, but like, sometimes I'm not even tuned into where I'm around because I'm so focused on my own situations. And so, like, I think I went to maybe 2 or 3 years of that, and I would come in and out of the church pretending like, you know, I was fine, everything's going well in my life, but really I was kind of just hiding everything, and I just kind of, I kind of just pretended for a long time. And I knew God was in my heart. I had God in my heart, but I just kept kind of pushing that away. And so a couple years passed, and I was like, God, I'm so stuck. Like, I don't know how I got myself so deep in this situation. I want to get out. Like, just please, God, like, do something. And then my whole perspective in that moment changed when I said, God, please, like, what do I do? And, like, I knew in my heart that I had to stop thinking of myself. And that's so hard to do nowadays, because I feel like media is super focused on, you know, you're an individual, be who you want to be, you get to pick, you get to do all this stuff. But really, it's about letting go of who you are and letting God totally take over your life. And so when I finally was like, okay, God, what do I do? He told me to stop thinking of myself and start thinking about other people. So in that moment, I was like, hey, what does this mean? So I started serving in the church. I started being closer to some of the people that you see here. I started, you know, finding ways where I could serve to even just be kind to someone. Like, I was so robotic that I didn't even say hi to anyone anymore. Like, it was that situation. So when I started serving, I went to this conference. Have you guys been to GC in Kirkland? Anyone? Yeah. So awesome. Love that place. And I remember the whole conference, I didn't cry. And like, I cry all the time. So I was like, what's going on? Like, what, this isn't affecting me. And then I didn't cry. And I was like, man, I must be really like hollow inside. And then at the end of the conference, Pastor Judah Smith, literally the last like four or five words he said was, God wants you to let go. And I was like, just bawling. Like, I was like so just broken by that point. I was like, let go, like literally let go. And I was like, that's it. That's all I had to do. So then let go of that, came back to young adults. And then Jason asked me to speak one night. And I was like, okay, I've never done this before. I don't know what to do. And I just started speaking from the heart. I was like, God, I don't want to keep looking back and riding the line between loving you and loving the world. And loving the idea of what I could be in the world. So I said, God, I don't want to keep walking that line. I want to look to you and run to you only. So in that moment, Drew walks in. And I was like, and I was like, I always noticed him. And the thing is, Carl Lentz said this once, where you look down and pursue God, and every once in a while you look up and see who's still around you. And then you keep looking down, look towards God, and look up and see if the same people are around you while you're pursuing God. That's when you know you're with the right person. So when I saw Drew, I always noticed him on Instagram because he's a baller and he's really awesome. And he had all these posts about God. And I was like, wow, this guy's awesome. He'd be such a good boyfriend. And then when I saw him again, I was like, God, is this you? And so we ended up talking that night, and that's how we started. So I think not only did God know that I needed him so badly, but he knew that if I just constantly pursued him and looked up and see who he had already put there, then he would be able to fulfill my heart that way. And now we're engaged, and it's awesome. But... So that's my side of the story. Drew's going to tell his side.
Yeah, that was pretty accurate, I suppose.
I feel like this is louder here.
So that's all good. I like mine.
Yeah, so I'd say before I met Xenia, I definitely had a past. And I mean, what are you guys, about 13, 14? Some of you are a little older. Okay, well.
Good answer.
When I was in high school, I wasn't really... I wasn't really thinking about girls too much. I was a little bit different. Ball was life. So,
Ball still is life, guys.
It kind of took over, but...
life is life, pretty soon.
Yeah, but I think once I got out of high school, you know, I got into university, and my eyes kind of opened up to a world of, you know, girls. And anyways, I made decisions in my life, and I think, you know, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home where I knew God. I knew that God was a part of my life, but I think, you know, I think where I went wrong in certain times of my life is when I would try to take on things on my own. I wouldn't necessarily follow what I knew God wanted me to do, and I think that's where some of my past relationships were situations where I could have definitely avoided, but they were also learning experiences and a time for me to grow and learn and kind of come closer to God. But anyways, yeah, I was, before Zian and I dated, I was in a relationship, and it was a good relationship. It was a really, really good girl that I was seeing. She didn't, I mean, she knew God, but she, I wouldn't say that she pursued God in a way that was healthy for a relationship. And the relationship wasn't necessarily centered on God, and that's, and I know you guys are a little bit young right now, but when you guys get a little older, you'll realize how how important it is to have a relationship centered on God and kind of what He wants for your life. And it's important because the nature of that relationship, the dynamic that that relationship has, is something you'll never experience without God being part of it. And so I've been able to experience both sides of that spectrum. And I can say, you know, when I finally met Xenia, being able to meet a woman of God that loved God and pursued God with all of her heart, it makes a huge difference. And I would say, you know, like you can be attracted to a woman, or for the ladies, you can be attracted to a man physically. But when you can see God in their life, and when you see how their love for God kind of stands out in their life and the way they do things, it adds a whole other level of attraction that you didn't know was possible. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a godly relationship. That's what I've come to love about Xenia, and I know that we're going to continue to grow together in the next stages of our lives. But I would say a couple of things that I want to impart on you guys. When you're seeking the Lord, when you're making an effort to live for God, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to be able to give you things in life that you desire. But that's only going to happen when you're fully committed to serving Him. You're fully committed to honoring God in every area of your life. My encouragement to you guys, as you're young, you're a little, I'd say this a little premature, but when you do start to get into the dating world, just know that God loves you so much, and He wants to bring that person to your life that you desire. But it's so important to spend time seeking God through prayer, seeking God through reading His Word, and serving other people, serving at church, whatever that looks like in your life. So those are things that are really, really important, especially when it comes to relationships and and allowing God to give you those blessings in life. Mm-hmm.
I think also another point is who you surround yourself with now is so critical in the person that God wants to bless you with, because you really, like, the people that you surround you show so much about who you are and your character. And it's not to say that you can't be friends with everyone, because I think it's so important to be able to be friends with everyone and to be able to have relationship with people, but to not be influenced by what their view of how the world should be. I think everyone in this room seems to have awesome friends in this room, and to keep those friendships where your beliefs line up, and just to be influencers in that way. Like, I think we're really big believers in doing life with good people and not being influenced by other people. And I think what goes along with that is your relationships that you create and that you spend time with. And also, just being super approachable to anyone and everyone. I think one thing that I learned going through a bunch of past relationships is that you really need to have grace for people, because you really don't know what is going on in their lives, and you really don't know their situation. So I think having grace for people, showing God love that way, because if you read the Bible, like, Jesus hung out with, like, the worst of the worst people. He didn't hang out at the churches with, like, the priests. He hung out with, like, prostitutes and tax collectors. And so I think just being super open to be friends with everyone, but to keep those who are like-minded as close to you as possible, which I think is super important.
Yeah. I'd like to share some scripture with you guys really quick. The piece of scripture I'm going to read right now, it's from Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 12. Mm-hmm. And this is the Message translation, so if you're not familiar with the Message, it's just a little bit more
awkward. It's behind you. That's okay.
I'll get out of the way. Okay. So I'll just read it from my phone, then you guys can follow along. So it says, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil, and your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this.
So good.
Did you, and I think you had something you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. So I also have a piece of scripture on Philippians 1. We're not putting it up there, so I'll just read it. Philippians 1, 9 to 11 in the Message version says, "So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God." So going back to Drew and I and how we really hope that our marriage and relationship speaks to other people is that, you know, God's love is so real. It changes everything, and it's attainable. Like, it's not something that's way out there that we can only experience when we're in a church or we're with Christians. It's something that's always going to be there for us. And once you have faith, like have God in your life, like, it honestly changes everything. And I remember when I was in the situation where I literally was like broken, I didn't know anything. I remember stopping one day and just saying, "God, save me." Because God is literally protecting each and every one of you. Like, spiritually, there's a lot going on. And I feel like God is protecting all of us from what our life could be. So it's so awesome to know that his grace covers us every single day. And that you can, he really wants to give you the best life possible. Sorry, do you want to, and then we can go back to me and Drew. And our marriage.
Or we want to keep going, or
you can keep going. Go for it. Whatever you want.
Well, I think we were talking about having a question and answer period. If you guys wanted to do that, if you had any questions for Xenia or for myself, or just questions in general about love, dating, Valentine's Day, we can leave that open to you guys to ask questions. And I think Pastor Jason will also facilitate a few questions. And then we can give an answer and get some feedback. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so go ahead. I mean, I'll put the mic
down.
Any
questions? Yeah. We've been dating, okay, so really we actually don't even know when we started dating. It was like a year and a half, I think. But what's awesome is that we already knew from the beginning that this was something good. And so we never had an official date, but I think it was a year and a half before we got engaged. And yeah. Yes.
So like when you were when you were like our age, like 12 to like 15-ish.
Yeah.
Did you guys like date people? And if you did, like, or like when you guys were in middle school, like how far were like the kids at your school going, and how did you like not fall into that? Like,
good question. This is a solid question. Okay. Why don't we each answer this? Because we were different. Very different. So when I was 12 or 15, that age, that was my rebel stage, to be honest. And I was like, it was so bad. But it was like, I was too, like, because I grew up in a Christian home, I knew what was bad. And so anything that people were telling me around me, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. But secretly, I would say that, and then I'd be like, oh yeah, totally, like in real life. But yeah, I did date. My first boyfriend was when I was 16, and we dated for 2 years. So, but honestly, I didn't even know what dating was. I kind of did it because everyone else was doing it. But you know, you do genuinely start to care about people at that age. And I think from stopping yourself from not doing things you don't want to do is, again, surrounding yourself with good people. And it seems like you guys are all friends, so that's good. I had, like, back in the day, like, Jess and Micah were, like, my go-tos. And so we, like, it's really hard, to be honest. Like, peer pressure is insane. And I couldn't, like, Yeah, it's so good to have good friends. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm answering this. I'm kind of rambling. But yeah, go ahead, because I think you have a better answer.
I can't say that I really dated at that age. But you know, I'm a student teacher right now doing a practicum through SFU, and I'm and I'm teaching a grade 6-7 class right now, and they're pretty crazy. I mean, I can say this, so they had a Valentine's Day dance today, and it kind of brings back memories for me. But they're super. Oh yeah, like it's.
So
I think Xenia was mentioning that people tend to do what others do at that age. Yeah. I would say there might be some attraction at that age, but I wouldn't say it's really genuine. It's kind of, it might be considered the cool thing to do or whatever. I can't relate to it. I look at them, I just laugh. Like, I couldn't, I'll be honest.
I don't even know, like, what's going on in the dating game nowadays. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I would say you asked about boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boundaries in terms of like certain ages or just in general?
Well, like, okay. I would be straight up because, like,
do it.
Because, okay. So, like, at our school, there's like portables. And the stuff
Oh, portables are the worst. It is like sin written all over portables.
Like, actually, like, behind portables? Huh.
Yeah. No, it used to be like that too, actually.
My school is like 6 to 8.
Yeah.
And so it's like 11 to like 14. And like people are like making out and like hickeys and all that like nasty stuff.
Ew.
And like everyone, a lot of like people who say that they're Christians are just like, well, it's not sex, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
At least I'm not having sex. Like, I'm saving my virginity until I'm like married.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like,
yeah, this is, that's a really good point. Because you know what? I think when people say, we're not doing this, so it must be okay, that goes back to my whole thing of, like, riding the line of, like, following God and loving the world. So it's like, okay, we can kind of do this because we're not doing that. And you're making things okay when they're not okay. And then you're, like, you're tempting yourself, right? So it's like, why put yourself through that, like, trauma of going back and forth so often instead of looking towards one way and knowing what's right and wrong? And, like, I know it's way easier said than done, but when you keep riding that line, it's eventually going to just take over, and there's not going to be a line anymore, and you're going to be, like, so far in that you're like, what am I doing, right? That's what I think.
I think it's human nature to try to push the boundaries a little bit,
yeah,
regardless of whether you're 12 or 30.
Yeah.
I think kids, no matter, I mean, your age, people older, they're always going to take things as far as they can.
Yeah.
And then they'll back off a little bit and then say, okay, well, that wasn't so bad. Maybe I can go a little further next time. But, you know, I would say for people that don't know God, they don't know the difference between, you know, what's right in God's eyes and what's not.
Yeah.
But for us, right, like for us that are familiar with God's word, and we're held to a higher standard. So, you know, we can see our peers at school doing things that, you know, that we know we probably shouldn't do. It doesn't mean that it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong to kiss someone or to make out, but you need to consider how old you are, first of all. And also, I think if you know God's word and you really know what it means to fear the Lord, does anyone know what that means, that term, to fear the Lord? I'm sure you've heard of it, to fear God.
It's not being
I wouldn't
scared.
Say it's like a tremble and fear, I'm scared of God, like don't hurt me. It's more of a respect for, and it's more respecting God's word and kind of what the standard he asks us to live by, and honoring that with everything we do. So if we commit ourselves to living under that type of standard that God asks us to live by, I think pushing the boundaries doesn't become an issue anymore. I think you just know better. You know it's not worth it. It doesn't get you anywhere. The only thing it leads to is probably guilt, I'd say.
Yeah.
And to live with guilt is not fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you know you're pushing the limits, and you can sense guilt coming on, I would back off and then kind of redirect your focus on God and God's word. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I also think being being an influencer instead of being influenced is so good, because you know, you can constantly live being influenced by other people, and you're not even, you don't even know who you are anymore. And I think finding who you are in God and what God calls you to be, and being able to influence other people. So you see people doing their own thing, but you do your own thing. And if they see like, oh, hey, that girl is pretty like attractive, what she does, then people will start, you know, looking up to you. And it's like such an honor when people know what you stand for, know who you are. And that you don't get easily swayed. Like, that's exactly, like, honestly, that was probably what attracted me to Drew, is because I knew he was in the whole basketball world, and I knew that world is not very good, but he was always an influencer. He would never, ever be, like, one to follow the crowd. Like, the crowd always knew that he was, you know, the Christian guy or the one who loved God, and, you know, and it's so awesome. Like, you don't hear that often. And I think it's so key to not be a part of what the world thinks is cool and be your own kind of cool, I guess, in a weird way.
Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
One more.
I said I wanted two because I come from a family of two, but Drew's a twin and he has an older sister, so he wants three.
I think three is a good number. Maybe four.
2.5. Oh, sorry, we have another. That was an easy question.
So it's like, this is not just for you guys, but like, say if your partner or a significant other does not want children, but you want children.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. What I think is, honestly, like, you're never, ever going to agree with your significant other on everything. Like, just know that now. Like, you don't agree on everything, but I do think when you find the person that God has put in your life, they will have the same desires that you have in terms of family and all that stuff. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's a game changer. Like, you know, I mean, if you're talking about marrying someone and they don't want children...
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What's the reason?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a game changer for me.
We're all about legacy around here, so we have a question here.
How old should you start dating?
14. I want to say wait till you're in your 20s, but...
He's totally kidding, guys. Are you?
No, I'm not kidding, actually.
No, you know what? Okay, sorry. You say your answer, I'll say mine.
I don't think you really know what you want until you're a little bit older. That's just my opinion. You know, if you start dating when you're in your teenage years... I think it's very unrealistic to think that those relationships will go into the future. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it could never happen. It totally could. You know, those high school sweethearts, it happens. But I think when you're in your early 20s and you really kind of know what direction your life's taking and you're mature in your relationship with God, I think you finally get a better picture of what a mature relationship looks like.
Well, I think they're just asking about dating, though. Not like getting married.
Sorry.
Well, hold on. Okay, so I think...
I meant dating, though.
Okay. Yeah. I think, honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with dating, and I think there's a preconceived notion that Christians, the first person they date is the one they're going to marry. Like, I think that's a really big preconceived notion out there. It could happen, obviously, but also I think that dating is okay, and it's good to be able to see... if you like someone and if you don't like someone. But I also think you need to keep yourself accountable with other people and to know that you're not just dating for the sake of dating, but you have, like, purpose in mind. So I don't necessarily want to put an age on that, but I would say you're right, you truly don't really know what you want until you've experienced life a little bit. Do we have one more?
Last
words that you guys want to say? Any last words of wisdom or thoughts?
What do you want to say?
So I think just kind of bring it back to kind of what tonight was about, you know, with this weekend being Valentine's Day on Sunday. Just remembering that kind of how God defines love for us, mm-hmm. and remembering what he did for us, and just kind of deciding for yourself what that means for your life. And it doesn't just have to be what love looks like with like the opposite sex. It could be people in general. Just how do you love people, and mm-hmm. how does God ask you to love people?
Yeah.
So I would maybe leave you with that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Drew and Xenia. Thanks. Guys, give them another huge round of applause. Guys, that was our first ever love chat.
Everybody's too scared.
What's that?
Wait, they had their turn. What about you and Micah?
Ooh. Whoa. All right. We'll make it happen. We'll have love chats round 2.